Hello, hello everyone. Before we get into today's amazing podcast episode, I did want to let you know, if you hadn't already heard, of the Get Found on Google workshop that I am hosting later this month on June 28th from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. It is both workshop and co-working because I am going to show you how to optimize your Google business profile, give you a couple of tutorials, and then we are going to get into action and we're going to put in the work in to really optimize your Google profile. So depending on how much time we have by the end of it, you will either have a fully optimized Google business profile or be well on your way to doing so. So if you'd like to join us, check out the link in the show notes. I have two registration options for you. The first one is standard and it gets you access into this workshop, all of the tutorials. You also get me there being your Q&A master, and that is $40. And then the second option is a VIP option, which you're going to get all of that, plus you're going to get an audit by yours truly based on all the work that you have already done. So again, if you'd like to get more information and register to Get Found on Google, head on over to the show description for the link. Alrighty, let's get on with today's show. Hello, travel biz owner. Welcome to my corner of the travel industry, the Strategic Travel Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're ready to have fun, be inspired, get clarity, and take action in your travel business, then you're in the right place. Let's jump in. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. We have a different episode here for you. You know, I have really been wanting to help you out. And this is one of the ways, like through the podcast, I do a lot of solo episodes. I bring a lot of guests. And now I want to have like a third component where I bring some of you on and we really help you with your own marketing strategy, whatever that may be. So many of you may be familiar with she is a guest on the podcast today. Her name is Dina Farmer. She's a fellow travel advisor. Her travel agency is Lily and Magnolia Travel. And let's go ahead. Let's dive in. Welcome, Dina, to this podcast, the Strategic Travel Entrepreneur, because we've done a couple things together.
Yeah, we totally have. Like we talked about... like getting help as a travel agent in your travel business. Now we're talking about mine.
Yeah. So kind of like really diving in to do an audit of marketing strategy, because one of the things that you had mentioned is that you're having trouble getting leads, and not only getting leads, but getting leads to show up and book calls with you, but then also to book travel with you, which is, I'm like, okay, that's different steps along the line of the MCC method that I like to talk about. And that your dream kind of like coming out of this session is really to get some sort of blueprint that you can utilize to acquire new leads in different ways. So I know we had talked about it before we got onto recording. So what's the biggest struggle with getting leads?
I think it's just getting leads. Like where to show up, because it's always that there's that... I'm very frustrated with that whole marketing idea, like show up on social media or like I said, the antiquated use your chamber of commerce or, you know, email marketing is king, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I totally get what everybody is saying. Like, I understand that, but it feels like those people already have that leverage built or have that, you know what I mean? Something already established so that they already have a warm client base. And I guess with my niche, it's pretty cold in general, because I also have to establish a lot of trust with other parents trusting me to help them with their kids, you know?
Yeah.
So it's frustrating to hear like, just use social media or email marketing. I'm like, well, I've been doing all of that and none of it's working. So
Right. And I'm here like, obviously you can't see me because we're on a podcast format, but I'm here like shaking my head backwards and forwards because that's exactly where I was at. And that's like one of the biggest frustrations is like you're telling us social media and email, and that is not where you start. That is where like, that's the middle. It's the middle. Like when we're talking, I like to utilize the MCC method, meet, connect, convert. And social media and email are in the middle. They're in connecting. And if you haven't seen Dina's social media, I think you have an amazing social media to connect and nurture with people
Thank
that already know about you. But the problem is that we need people that don't already know about you. Because it's, and I'm just looking strictly at Instagram. You're doing everything. You're doing the posts, you're doing the reels, you're doing the stories, you're doing a lot of connecting. It is outside. So what are you currently doing for marketing, or and slash how have people found you before?
So the biggest thing is that I've been leveraging podcasting. So I go on other autistic parents' podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I talk about my business, but along the lines of like, also, I'm an autistic, like a parent of an autistic child. So I
Okay.
lead that in. So I've been using podcasting a lot, and I have had a few clients find me from podcasting,
Okay.
a little bit of YouTube interviews as well.
Okay.
I did join I joined a neurodivergent parenting panel here in the Panhandle, and it just got started, so I'm not sure where that's gonna turn out. But I was hoping, like, with a marketing effort and like with my niche, that maybe that would help me somehow.
Okay.
And then, of course, Instagram, which I don't know. So it's I have a love-hate relationship with
Yeah.
Instagram.
Same.
Yeah. I have used, like, I have done like ads and stuff, but I just feel like I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall and wasting money. So I've just pretty much given
Right.
up on paying for ads, period.
Right. When you're podcasting, are you given the opportunity at the end to like give contact information and people can sign up for your email list?
Yep.
Okay.
Or at least to find me on social media and my website.
Okay.
So,
All righty. And is there, I mean, do you offer a lead magnet or a freebie there? So I know you mentioned like the, and it's also a pet peeve of mine, freebie, but it's if you're utilizing podcasting, that's the way people are going to get on the email list.
Right. I do have a freebie on my website, but I'm not offering a lead magnet on the podcast episode.
Okay.
So, but I probably should the next time.
Yes.
Because my lead magnet is all about like the putting like implanting the idea of being comfortable traveling with your autistic child, and it's all
Okay.
about like how to start small. So like
Okay.
you can build up to the steps of traveling on a 7-day trip or something.
Right. And if you haven't already gathered, yes, she specializes in helping families with autistic children, which I think is a very specific, I want to say it's great, but I'd great in terms of being able to use it for marketing and finding your people, that you, it is well defined who your people are, not that it is great having to deal with those life challenges. So I'm like, I don't want to sound like insensitive either. So yeah, that's one thing that I would change when you're going on podcasting is to be like, and here's my free resource. It gives you a checklist for traveling with your autistic children. You can find it at Lillian Magnolia Travel slash checklist, and like just make it really easy. So even if they don't go into the show notes, they can find you that way. But that is just one that's like a little band-aid there to help out with the podcasting, at least, is to really showcase. Because even if they're kind of burnt out with either following on social media or going to the website, having like a tangible, oh, okay, yes, I need that you resource to utilize. But I love that you're going on podcasting because it really is all about visibility. I feel like something else that you can do, or have you done this before, is collaborations, like working with these leader, what I will call leaders or experts in the autism community, to maybe put something together of value that could get you in front of their audiences in a different way.
I haven't thought about that, but that is, I mean, I think that's what I was kind of doing with the neurodivergent board that I joined, but I hadn't really
Okay.
thought about like bigger places, 'cause it's kind of a just like everything else in life, like there's struggles with it as far as like people and opinions and like how there's therapy and all that stuff. It's like, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm viewed a certain way. That's the other thing that I'm trying to like tiptoe around. Being
Within the
careful
community or just people in general?
in the community.
Oh, is this because of you selling travel, or is this just something different, something else?
It's something related to autism. So like some people like they some people view therapy a certain way, and like I try to be as open-minded as possible without sharing my opinions. Because I don't
Okay.
want to, get anybody upset about like what I've decided is best for my children or whatever, you know what I mean? So
Gotcha.
I'm
Okay.
my that's my only hesitation with that, is I don't want anybody to think I'm aligned with something that I'm just like, I don't agree with it, but I like this is a great sounding board. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that sound complicated and ridiculous? I don't know. Like,
Well, I coming like having an autoimmune disorder, which is similar but different. I know that there's a lot of different ways, and like I have my own particular way to deal with it. So I kind of see like where you're coming from, where people have thoughts and opinions, and if they're a little bit different, they might feel a certain type of way with you expressing it.
yes, 100. Yes. So I'm trying to be as cautious as possible with my, like, without talking about autism, as in like the therapy and treatments, which also is like why I don't know. I would have to be very particular with that, but I love the idea. So it just caused me to just do a little bit more research. You know what I mean?
Like maybe like a leisure time, or I don't know, maybe even like partnering up with like with fellow travel advisors, and you can have like an autism travel symposium, and like maybe like do Facebook lives or YouTube
Yeah.
lives or something like that, where you can all share and like really uplift the autism community.
I love that. That's a good idea. 'Cause I do know there's a couple of more of us that I've found that I'm like, maybe we could talk about traveling and or how our strategies,
Because that's like marketing is different nowadays, and a lot of the strategies that I kind of am putting at the forefront for myself are really utilizing partnerships and getting in front of other people's audiences, because I think it's going to go a lot faster than traditional social media. Are you only like speaking on social media? Are you only on Instagram, Facebook, or are you on other platforms too?
I'm only on Instagram and Facebook because
I
burnt
hear ya.
out. Yeah.
I hear ya.
And I'm not at the point in my business yet where I'm ready to hire a VA or anything. And I've tried Pinterest, and I do notice that there's abysmal traffic coming from there. And but like my main lead source is Google. So out of everything, which somehow I'm getting found on Google, which is great. I just
Well, do you have a Google business profile?
I do.
I mean, we're gonna Google your business profile. Did you say that you also had a YouTube account?
I do have a YouTube account. It's sadly unused. There's a couple of videos there. But I did notice that the big things that pull in traffic is the TSA CARES program. I get hits like crazy from that. Yeah. And also autism friendly vacations in Hawaii, and then just autism friendly vacations spring break.
Are these like keywords that you're being found for?
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so then you're doing something good on your website.
Yeah.
In terms of like either you have blog posts on the website that are kicking in, or you have just keywords scattered throughout the different pages on your website that are really kicking it in. I'm looking at your Google business profile because I'm like, how can we amp this up? Because I know before we came on, you had mentioned you were very limited on time
Yeah.
because you also do you work full time or part time in addition to the business?
It's basically full time.
With the I feel like there is some places within your Google business profile that you can amp up. You have a couple of reviews, And I know that you are booking a lot of travel from social media. So I'm like, I would, as part of, what are you asking, actively asking for reviews as part of offboarding?
I'm asking for reviews, but people, instead of offering it to me on my Google, they put it on my travel leader's profile.
Okay, how do they know about that one though?
Because I send them both, and I say I put the Google one first, and I don't know why they all choose
No,
the travel.
take out the travel leaders.
Okay.
Don't even include it. We want you to be found on Google, and you have 4 reviews, which is great, and they're all 5s. But building up that review will keep like listing you higher when people are looking for you. Other things that you do, it doesn't look like you have any services listed in your business profile. So you can list services and products. So you can put travel planning, autistic travel planning. You can like anything that's specific to that niche and travel planning, like making reservations is a service, booking hotels is a service, cruise planning is a service. So I would add like 20 different services and make sure when you're adding the services, it would be keywords that people actually enter into Google. So again, autistic family travel planning services or whatever it might be, because that will also help feed Google and you're physically telling Google, this is what I want to be found for. And so you're getting ahead of the game of the Google game when you're doing that. So I would do that. I saw you have a post here and I'm like, oh, there's a post. So the other thing is, how do you feel about repurposing your content?
I'm absolutely not against it.
Okay. And that's why I asked about YouTube, because I know that you do reels for Instagram. Is repurposing those reels as YouTube shorts and then utilizing your static posts as updates on Google for your Google business profile? Because
Oh my
that,
God, I never even thought about the short. Like, what the heck? Oh my gosh. Yeah,
and
okay.
You can schedule them directly within YouTube. And these are a lot of things that I am testing on my own because I am limited on time, like running 2 businesses. And so I'm like, I need people to be able to find me. So what can I do to feed the algorithms to find me? YouTube is the number 2 or 3 search engine right now. So feeding YouTube, and YouTube has gotten like some traction. I wouldn't say I've gotten any hits personally, but it helps more people who aren't on social media, because I feel like a lot of people are going away from social media too. So definitely repurpose on YouTube Shorts, and you can schedule directly from YouTube. So if you have like a lot of video content, go ahead, save it, and then just start scheduling it out. Same thing, you can use something like Buffer, which is a scheduler, connect your Google account and start scheduling the updates. So like whenever you're putting content on Facebook, Instagram, it's the extra step, but it's also an extra step. So I saw my first full month, I like doubled the views on my Google business profile, which I mean, I say that and it wasn't a lot. I probably went like from 40-ish views to like 95 views. So, and it takes a lot of that consistency posting a couple times a week so that again, it feeds like the Google algorithm, like, okay, this person is an active business and these are all the things that she's doing. And it's going to take the words that you put in and be like, okay, I see right now it says autism friendly vacations. It's going to pick you up for when somebody's looking for that too. So those are some things that you can do at least. And it's not like you're doing anything different. You're already doing the posts on your other.
I mean, you're absolutely right. I just never thought about YouTube Shorts at all. And I felt like, because I guess, you get in your head about YouTube and you're like, oh, long form. That's what I think of all the time instead of the short form. I
Yeah.
know that they have shorts, but not what I was thinking. But like, I mean, I have so much like stuff I could save off of Instagram and just put it on YouTube. Like, it's a no-brainer. So that,
Right. 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 Yeah, cuz so like those are 3 things, like making sure you're mentioning your lead magnet when you're closing out your podcast shows, buffing up your Google business profile and utilizing YouTube Shorts. So those are some things, like without getting like too inundated, it helps repurpose the content that you already have. And then also help utilize search, because we don't really talk about when we're thinking about social media, that there's certain platforms that are better for search than others, aka YouTube and Google are better than the Instagrams and the Facebooks. I know that you were not interested in trying anything new just because of bandwidth, but if I was going to add in like an honorable mention here, this is where I would say consider starting to utilize LinkedIn a little bit because that is helpful, like for relationship marketing. And again, relationships, warmer audience instead of a colder audience. Similar to the collaborations that we spoke about earlier. Now, the other problem of getting leads, but not only getting them to be on calls, it are just not enough people going on like scheduling calls, or are they also just not going on the calls with you?
Both. So
Okay.
there's not enough people. Like, ideally, I'd love to have a client a week in my business right now.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not happening. It's probably like one or two clients a month,
Okay.
which is great still. Like, I'm not like being like, oh, poo poo, terrible. But the other issue is I'm getting the leads, but then they never show up on the call. And just like with you, where it texts you, because I have Calendly as well, it texts you,
Okay.
it emails you a couple times, like, hey, don't forget about the meeting. Like, I have all of that. And I even have a follow-up through Calendly to say, don't forget, we just had, you missed your meeting. So if you want to schedule another one, here's the link, But and maybe other travel advisors are experiencing this as well, but it feels like people impulse schedule appointments, but then have like remorse about doing it.
Like remorse about scheduling or about not
Yeah,
showing up?
like they're like about scheduling. Like, I schedule the appointment, but I don't really feel like talking about my trip. So instead of like,
Interesting.
you know what I mean? I don't know. Like,
You know,
I had,
I've talked to somebody else who is a support person within the industry, and she's been having challenges where people are showing up, but they don't know exactly like what the appointment that they signed up for.
Right.
And so I feel like it's almost like a preparation. 'Cause I, knock on wood, I haven't personally experienced this, but it's what I'm thinking is how can we prepare people more and like have them understand that this is a call that is taking up time and that you are also taking up time. I know there's a couple people out there that are starting to experiment with making discoveries paid, but like a low cost and that it'll go to the whatever, like if your normal planning fee is 250 and you're going to pay for a $25 call, then that'll go towards the cost of your planning fee, so it'll be 225 instead of 250, something like that. So it kind of like signals like, hey, this is a little bit more serious, and it also doesn't waste your time as well that you've allotted and blocked off.
Right. I haven't thought about that at all.
I know it's and I've thought about it, but I also haven't had any trouble, so I'm not sure if I would immediately implement it, but it is a thought because you're still taking time out of
Right.
your day. And just like, what kinds of questions are you asking or information are you giving, like in that Calendly fill out form?
I wish there was more than 10 questions because it limits you to only 10,
Okay.
which I found out the hard way. Because I had a bunch of questions, like I wanted it to almost like identically match what was on my what is on my Travel Joy,
Okay,
trip
yeah.
form. But I could only pull out questions that like, what is your ideal budget? Not so many words,
Okay, yeah.
or like, what's been your worst vacation ever? Please tell me like what was the experience and like what's been your best vacation and why and like how many people are traveling, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then the big thing is because people never, ever, ever tell me their gateway city and then ask me like, how much is it to go to Jamaica? Well, I don't know. Where are you traveling from? Denver
Right.
is gonna cost cheaper, I mean more than Miami, like
I have a couple of ideas.
Okay.
One, immediately thinking about like maybe we just change the process a little bit for Calendly, where they
Okay.
fill out some basic information and then on the thank you page, you direct them to your TravelJoy inquiry form to be like, thanks for scheduling. In order to help me better prepare, please fill out this form that gives me all the details that I need to help prepare for this call or however you want to call it.
Love that. Okay.
The other idea is, and I see a lot of people doing this, not just in the travel space, but in general, is maybe having people be able to apply for calls by filling out your inquiry form first and saying something like, I will review this, and if it seems like a fit, I will send you a scheduling link so you can get on my calendar.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like they've already done all the work. And if it does seem like a fit, you can either have them schedule the call, send out the calendar link, or you can be like, I'm not a fit, but I have this colleague in the industry who is a fit that might be better suited for what your needs are.
I like that idea better because then it's like it also negates them wasting my time and me wasting
Right.
their time, you know?
Right. And that's why I was like, actually, I think like the second might be a little bit better because you get them to do all the work, aka fill out your form first, instead of them just jumping the gun. And it's also like an application process. I feel like people start taking things more seriously. They can be like, oh, I need to apply for this. Okay, like this is a real life business owner.
Right. Okay. I like that. I like that. I'm totally gonna listen to this podcast episode too again. Like, let me really jot down these notes
Because I'm also thinking about that. If you're changing your process to start changing like your call to actions when you do your social posts, like I would
okay.
love to work with you, like please apply and we'll see if we're a fit worth working or if I can refer you out, something to that effect instead of just scheduling a call with me.
Right. Because it also creates kind of a sense of like, I'm booked and busy, right?
Yes. They don't need to know what else is going on behind the scenes. Because that's the other thing. Like when they get on the calls is setting the expectation and kind of like putting you in the driver's seat per se, that this is so and so. I read over your form. This is how this call is going to go. This is a discovery call to, and I've checked out this. Like, here's some ideas that I have. Not giving like too much away, but giving enough that they feel comfortable. We start this know, like, trust process so that at the end, when you start saying, like, okay, and this is how I work. If you decide to choose with me, this is the planning fee. Like, I will go ahead and send you some agreements and forms. How does this sound? I would really like to work with you. Or however it is, the verbiage, you're setting the stage so they can also take the call seriously and know what's going to happen instead of just being like, oh, this is another call with my buddy.
I love that. Sorry. If I'm talking about galaxies again, like this is literally my life. But I love that. I 100% love that. Okay.
Okay.
I'm down with that idea. Because that makes it feel like, because then I feel like I'm vetting clients better in that
Right.
regard, you
Right.
know?
Right. Yeah,
Right. Instead of being disappointing.
yes, because I feel like we've all been in those situations where discovery calls kind of like get out of like I have scheduled 20 or 30 minute discovery calls that have lasted an hour because I didn't set the expectation and they love to gab and I also love to gab, but I'm also like there were other things that we need to do, Rita. We need to focus. So it helps myself out as well.
I love that. Yes. Because I really want to keep them like less than 20 minutes. Like I ideally I want
Right.
like a 15 minute call of like, is this going to work or not? You know,
Right.
and then we can go the next step.
Right. And having that application kind of cuts down on the time. I remember when I had a my first like 15, 20 minute discovery call, like I was the client and I was like, this is so short. But if you are on task and you set those expectations, it goes by fast. And people should be able to make some sort of decision because, again, they found you somewhere, whether it's social media or your Google business profile. So they've been able to go through your content. That's what content really does, is gives the fast pass. It helps set them up to knowing who you are. So at that stage, they should know if they want to work with you or not. It's really figuring out, are you capable of this exact type of trick?
Yes, I totally agree with that 100%.
How does this feel? Kind of like a lot of different ideas now. You have a homework.
It feels like practical advice instead of
Okay.
like, again, do all the social media thing and like they will, if you build it, they will come. And I'm like, I built it and they're not
Right. Because you built the
coming. So,
wrong thing. And
right.
not to say like it's not bad to put stuff on social media. It's that we also like there's a sales pipeline, and the sales pipeline starts with people going into the pipeline. And so how are those people finding you? And if it's a clear, and I love networking. I'm a big proponent of networking, but in your situation, you don't have the time to do the networking. Possibly maybe like networking in terms of attending industry. And when I say industry, I mean like more autistic specific things. So if like there's autism summits or different informational things where you can do a little bit of like online networking within the comments of like a Zoom, and just putting, if you're able, allowed to like put a little bio of yourself and start interacting with people that way. Or even like at nighttime when you're decompressing a little bit, listening in on other people's lives and adding meaningful comments so that people can be like, oh, this person knows what she's talking about in terms of what our needs are, and gaining that visibility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. Yes. 100%.
Is there anything that you're like, oh, but I still feel like I should change something else?
I feel like the big thing that I'm munching on right now is like, you blew my mind with YouTube Shorts, and I don't know why I never even thought that. Like, what was I thinking? Come on, Dina. But, yeah, I feel like I can run around with this and work on these things and things
Okay.
happen, you know?
Good, good. And YouTube Shorts are only 60 seconds long. So if you do have like a reel that you're repurposing that's more like 90 seconds, it'll just be like a regular video on your YouTube channel. It's still helpful.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, even a regular video is totally fine too. It looks like
Yeah.
a cell phone video, but yeah. Okay.
Yes,
That works for
yes.
me.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, I've recorded some and I'm like, gosh dang it, I thought you were supposed to do the 60 second, but it did 90 seconds instead. So I'm like, it's content, it's going somewhere, it's
Exactly.
in a different place.
100%.
Cool. So what is the first thing that you're gonna do once you're able to?
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to do is definitely look at my Google business profile.
Okay.
And I'm going to fix my form that goes out about travel leaders and the reviews.
Yes. Google, Google, Google.
And then I think after that it'll probably be like looking at YouTube Shorts and uploading
Okay.
that stuff. And then listening to
Okay.
your podcast episode again to like jot down.
Jot down all the ideas. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on real quick before we jump off?
I don't think so, Rita. Wow, this has been like really helpful because I'm like lost in the sauce
Good.
sometimes, you know? Like, it sounds
Right.
so practical and great to do all these things, but at the end of the day, it's not, you know?
Yeah. And it's sometimes you just need the that extra set of eyeballs, which is why I wanted to like open up this platform on the podcast to be able to do some marketing audits and assist travel advisors, because I know you are not the only one with this question or similar questions to this as other people.
Thank you, Rita. This has been really great.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll have to tune in, I guess, in a couple months to see how everything's going.
Yes. That would be totally amazing. Like right around
Yes.
probably like the end of the summer, I would say.
Wonderful. I'm like, I'm repeating myself over and over again because I'm very excited. Alrighty, well, thank you, Dina, for sharing a little bit and being a little bit vulnerable to open up and help everyone out, pinpoint different things within their own businesses too, and kind of strategize moving forward.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having my kids in the background.
Yes.
Mom life. I always say that, like, if a client can't handle my kids in the background, I don't think we'll be a good fit. That's my number one thing. Yeah.
Exactly. This is real life.
It is. It honestly is. And in my life, like, totally, 100%.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right, travel advisors and travel businesses. I hope that this was helpful to you. If you would like to also do a marketing strategy audit on the podcast live, feel free to reach out into the show notes. I do have a link you can sign up. It is totally free. And we get a little bit of pinpointing in your own business and help the travel industry community just be stronger. So until next week, we'll see ya. Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. Remember to check out the show notes for all relevant links and resources from today's show. See you next time.